As a matter of fact, I shared this. Jaden, this is going to sound familiar to you. And because it goes something like this. Two Wednesday nights ago, I was sharing this as a part of the series I was sharing to prepare the teens to go back to school. And so I shared this on Wednesday night. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I think I'm at my best when I'm beside the concrete pool, the concrete pond, and I'm beside the water, because Jesus taught a lot about around the water. And, you know, I just to relax and have the teens around me, circled up around me, I'll just be honest with you. I think I'm at my best when I'm unplugged. Okay? But I'm going to try to share with you heartbeat of what I shared with them. Okay. You're equipped to win. When you're facing the rest of this year, and I applied it to their school year, do you remember this? Hey, you're a winner. You got everything in you. If you know Christ, you got everything in you for the rest of this year to be a great win-win because of Jesus. If you know Christ, that's true. Because it says this in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work, look at how the Amplified brings out the language. The work which His presence within accomplishes. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to manifest, make real in your physical life. Okay? On this planet, not just when you get to heaven. On this planet, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Holy Spirit, hey, I can tell you this. This is what Jesus looks like in you. If you've received Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And this is what Jesus looks like, because He said, I'm sending another, it's just like me. This is what Jesus looks like inside of you. When you received Christ, Jesus came to dwell in you, in your spirit. And this is what He looks like inside of you. Love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness. That's what Jesus looks like in you. And because you've been born again, if you've been born again, if you haven't been born again, you're missing this. If you've been born again, the fruit of the Spirit is inside of you, just like Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus in you, and He's destined you to overcome. He did not pay the price and come into your life for you to be an undercomer. He came into your life for you to be an overcomer. An overcomer. You're not an undercomer, you're an overcomer. All right, I love that, don't you? Now look at Galatians 2:20. This is coming out of the American Standard Version. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. Now, being crucified with Christ means that you identify with Christ. He was your representative. What happened to Him happened to you. And so what He gets, you get. All right, here you go. He gave up His life for us. We give up our life for Him. And we gain. He had pain, but we gain. Look at some of the benefit here. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. I explained to you, when you receive Christ, the real Jesus, Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside of you. And that life which is inside of you, if you receive Christ, which I now live, which means on this planet Earth, in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God. Now I want to tell you how a lot of versions put this. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. You get that? Now that's a little different, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're to take the faith that He has placed in us, because Jesus has given every single one of us a measure of faith. The measure of faith. And so everyone that receives Christ, I don't care what your age is, what your maturity is, if you've received Christ, you've received the measure of faith. And that faith that's been given you is the faith of the Son of God. That's good stuff.
Amen.
Let me announce to you, that's win-win stuff.
Amen.
That's enough for you to have victory for the rest of the year. Do you understand for the rest of your life?
Yes.
But we're talking about the right now, because this verse is talking about the right now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith, the faith. I take the faith which is in the Son of God, and I apply that faith to Christ, in Christ. the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that a beautiful picture? I hope you see that a little bit differently than maybe you have in the past. But it's the faith of the Son of God that's in you, and we get to take that faith and apply it to the things of the kingdom of God, to the Lord himself. And faith is not just a mental acknowledgement, but it's an agreement with all that's inside of you, all right? With your heart, with your soul, with your mind, you're agreeing with your spirit, because Jesus is in your spirit, and he's saying yea to the promises of God. And when you get your mind renewed and you agree with your spirit, then it's two against one versus your flesh. Amen. And two against one wins every time. That's what we call around here the tug of war. All right, so it's very, very exciting about what can happen. But the faith that's described, and the Amplified brings this part out, is faith is by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God. You see, that's more than just having a thought. That's bringing your mind into agreement, and everything that's in you is agreeing with what's in your spirit, what Jesus is saying, what his word says, all right? I'm going to do this right quick. Can you get one of those chairs loose, Justine? I think there may be one loose right there. You have to kind of pick up on it. There it is. All right, bring it right over here, bro, where everybody can see. Yeah, let's do it like this. Now, Justin's a strong guy, man. I mean, tell you, this guy, not just in the past, but he's strong now. But I'm going to ask you to sit down about 90% to that chair, almost to the bottom of the chair. Not all the way. Okay, that's it. Now, I could walk around here and talk for a while. But I want to tell you, when the Bible talks about faith and about believing, it's not talking about that. Because I want to tell you, even the strongest of the strong are going to get weak in that position. All right? I want to tell you, when the Bible talks about believing and it talks about faith, it talks about complete submission and yielding and in complete agreement to. That's what it is. It's not mental acknowledgement. Now, I'm going to ask you to go all the way. And, okay. Now, see, that's what the Bible calls believing, because it's compared to resting in the New Testament. It's the godly rest that he's designed for. And what the Bible says is that our real struggle is to come to the place of rest in our believing, where we completely, 100%, all in, we trust in, rely on, and depend on Christ. This is believing. This is faith. This is trusting in the Lord. You got it? Okay, thank you, Pastor. Let's all give him a hand. He did so good on that. And that was without practice. He's done so well on that. I'm so glad you stretched. Okay, here it is. We have faith in Christ because we have the faith of Christ in us. And so don't ever say, well, I just don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. Because Christ dwells in you. The fruit of the Spirit is in you. And I want to tell you, he has given you not just simple faith. He's given you his faith, and his faith is enough. You see, it's not the question of how much faith do I have. Jesus made that so clear, because he said over and over again, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it's the tiniest seed. It's not about the size. It's appropriating the faith, the gift of faith, the measure of faith that he's given you. It's using it. It's not a situation where Brandon's got more faith than anybody. His faith is bigger than you. No. It's that, what's he applying? And so this is the answer to that. And all of us have the measure of faith. All of us have the faith of Christ in us, and he has designed us to overcome. It's the life of Jesus. It's the faith of Jesus. This is the real you. All right? Not the one that's out here stumbling and bumbling and trying to figure out, well, what's this or what's that, or I believe or don't believe. No. That's the effect of doubt on us. And doubt has a way, okay, of causing your faith to not operate. That's why Jesus called it little faith. It was because of doubt, the tug of war of doubt winning. And when your mind and your soul agrees with doubt, then it's those two against the spirit. You understand? All right, that's why that it's very, very important for us to identify with Christ. Christ has got to be our identity. That's why you've got to see Jesus as the victor and see yourself in Christ. Remember, crucified with Christ? Okay, that's the place of yielding so that we receive victory. It's important for us to yield our rights to Christ so we can receive His victory. There's a whole lot there I don't have time to cover. But that's why that we renew our mind till you see Jesus and to, as your identity, that you're a winner and not a loser. You've got to start with that. It comes from revelation. If you don't have the revelation of who Jesus is and the revelation that you are in Christ, that identity with Christ, then it's hard for you to operate in steps of success. But once you receive revelation, it's easy to see the wisdom. Receive the wisdom of God. Anybody getting that? Is that okay? I may need to do a series on that. Here's Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Do you see that in the Amplified? The confirmation, the title deed of things that we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, let me back up and give you a little picture here. Years ago, this was before the automatic keys on the cars, key fobs, there was a situation that I'm personally aware of a lady that went in to buy groceries, and it was just getting dark. She went in to buy groceries, and so she parked her car in a normal spot, and when she came out, she could not find her car. And so she looked, she had people in the store help her look, described her car, the color of the car. Nobody could find her car. They called the police. My car's been stolen. And so the police get there, and they have her describe the vehicle. And he said, well, ma'am, there's a make and model right there. She said, I know, that's where I normally, but that's not the color of my car. That's not my car. And he looked, being the officer that he was, he said, ma'am, let me see your key. And she gave him the key, and he walked over to the car and unlocked the car, opened the door. Now, what had happened? Is that she normally didn't shop at night. But the store had put in these new lights on the parking lot. And they were the yellow lights. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but just listen. When those lights come on, it causes colors to look differently. And even though that was the model of her car, the make of her car, she swore that that was not her car because it was a different color. Now, When someone in authority assured her, confirmed to her that the title deed was hers, because he took the key and showed how to operate, her hope was renewed. And not only that, she received what she hoped for. What was in the invisible to her became visible to her, as she was happily driving home in her own car. But I want to tell you, because she didn't recognize that that was hers, she was deceived and she was at loss, and it was stolen from her even though it was close by. Is anyone listening? Well, that's what Jesus has done. That's what the Word of God is for. Is that faith is the assurance, the confirmation. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God confirm to you what Jesus has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And that He has the title deed because of covenant. And His authority wants to assure you from the Word of God and by His Spirit that these things that we hope for. See, first, you got to see it in the invisible before you see it in the visible. A lot of Christians want to wait till it shows up in the visible, and then they want to thank God and talk about faith. But I'm here to share with you that the reality is this, is that it's real in the spiritual realm where you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it with the five senses, but it's very, very real. It's more real. The invisible is more real than the visible. And Jesus has paid the price for it. And just like that little lady with the car, it's yours, it's there, He won the title deed in His victory on the cross. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the title deed. It's the receipt that what He won for on the cross is real and is available for you. It's the receipt of what all He won for. That's what the resurrection's all about. And so here it is. Jesus has paid the price. It's available. Hey, let's look back over it. The hope for, how's your hope factor? Because you see, when you're in the Word of God, and you're allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you the promises and the desires of God and the love of God to you, you see it on the inside first. How's your imagination room with the Lord? Because that's why He gave it to you. And we're to see it by faith first on the inside. You see, it's important. If you need healing or you need restoration in your soul, you need to dwell in the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister His hope to you to the point that you see yourself. Let's all say identity. You see yourself in the Word and by the Spirit. You see yourself healed, not sick. You see yourself restored, not broken. You got to see it. And when you come to the place where you can see it in the invisible, then it's just a matter of time, because when your soul, your renewed mind, agrees with your spirit, it's just a matter of time that it manifests in the physical. Well, that's what faith's about. Look at this. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's what we mean by greater reality. Now, some versions talk about the evidence of things not seen. Hey, let's be clear about this. They're not seen, but they really do exist. Amen. I want to say it again. You don't see them, taste them, feel them. Please don't wait for an emotion. They're not visible, but they're really, really real. They really do exist. Are you with me?
Yes.
Can I get a good amen, church?
Amen.
So faith is the bridge to the unseen. Faith is the bridge. Do you see that? From this world to the spiritual, the greater reality world, faith is the bridge. It really does exist. Outside of us, if our eyes were opened to see the spiritual realm right now around us, we would see angels in this building. We would see guardian angels, like warring angels, camped out around our property, protecting us, keeping us to a place where we can focus and receive the peace, and the warring on the outside doesn't come to the inside, and there's protection there, and there's ministering angels going around. And the Bible talks about the Spirit of the Lord goes around and ministers to people. The dancing hand of God ministers to people as the Word of God is being brought forth. And so there's a whole lot. If your eyes were open, you could see a whole lot happening around us right now. That's really real. I'm here to share this with you. On the inside of you, there's a spiritual world. Because when you receive Christ, your spirit comes alive. It's being made new. It's been born again. And the Spirit of Jesus comes to your spirit. And it's a new spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. And that is the real you. The Jesus part of you on the deep inside is the eternal part of you. It's the real you. All right? This body is just the suitcase. Or it's just the clothes that this soul is a part of. And the soul's a part of you too, but the real part of you is on the inside. It's the spirit man. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it with your senses. For example, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Are you with me, saints? So, that's our spirit man. And so, on the inside of us, on the inside of you, just like there's spiritual reality around us, there's spiritual reality on the inside of you, there is peace. Now, when a situation takes place, we have a choice to hate. And our flesh will jump close and will jump quick and say, hate, revenge, retaliation, unforgiveness, bitterness. And your flesh wants to do battle the way of the world. But on the inside of you, if you know Christ, there is peace and joy and love inside of you. It's real. It's a greater reality. And we can receive it and we can walk in it. Hate and disturbance, depression is of the flesh, not the spirit. Our spirit man, in our spirit man, is the full measure of peace, joy, and love. It's in us. It's Jesus. I must say this, when you received Christ, you didn't receive baby Jesus. You received the full measure. As a matter of fact, that's what Colossians 2, 9 says this. For in Him, the whole fullness of God, the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And so I want to tell you, in Christ is the full measure of God, and Christ is in you. And so I'm here announcing to you that on the inside of you is the full measure of God. Not a small measure, a full measure. In other places it talks about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ dwells in you. Full measure. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. That's why I can look around this room this morning and say there's a lot of power here. Inside of you, a lot of power. It's in us. That's Jesus. In the very same space and time, inside of you is the fruit of the Spirit. It's mature fruit. It's not baby fruit. Even in a baby Christian, it's mature fruit that's on the inside. Part of our journey is this, is getting to learn after we accept Christ, the exciting adventure of getting to learn, get to know Him better, and to learn the Word where our mind's renewed to the Word where that He transforms us from glory to glory, from level to level in Him. He transforms us. We become more and more like Him. That's the exciting adventure of a Christian life. And so we get to practice that and we get to enjoy that. And He's available for the presence of the Holy Spirit to manifest. I'm telling you, a baby Christian, by simple childlike faith, can enjoy the full measure love of God, can enjoy the peace of God, can enjoy the manifested presence of God, can enjoy peace, can enjoy patience. I want to tell you, that comes from God. And He is available for us, and He wants to manifest. And so 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but thanks be to God. Do you understand? If Jesus is in you, and He is, and the full measure of God is in you, and He is, and the fruit of the Spirit is in you, full measure, I want to tell you, you have win inside of you. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Somebody see that? Amplified brings this out. You are living trophies of Christ's victory. Don't you love that? Hey, I'm announcing to you, this is the will of God. This is kingdom of God. You know what He's saying? Hey, you're living proof. You're living proof of God's victory. You're living proof. You are a trophy. You know what you see when you see a trophy? You see a representation of something that's happened in the past. I want to tell you, the victory that we enjoy is because of the victory from the cross. His victory was complete. That's why Jesus is called finished works. It's the finished works of the cross. And we get, there's more victory there than you can ever fully comprehend. And so we get to enjoy full measure of victory because He's full measure in us. And we can receive and allow and submit to the victory of Christ. His victory is greater than anything else you'll ever face. Any enemy. Through us. You see, it's in us, and He wants it to be through us. And it spreads and makes evident to other people, to people around us, to the church and the unchurched, makes evident, makes real, makes clear, as a witness, as a billboard, the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. You know what happens is that the victory of Christ in you, and when you practice receiving the victory of Christ in your life, the victory that He's won for you, it becomes like a winning perfume that affects other people and lets other people know that that victory, that Jesus, that victory is real because I see that in that person and they have that winning perfume. Hey, it's the smell of victory. And it smells like Jesus. I want to, that does my heart good. Hey, that's why that a praise and victory testimony is a responsible report. It should be our heartbeat. That's why that we're doing a series on praise and thanksgiving. Because I want to tell you, anywhere you go should be a praise parade. And I want to tell you, not because of feelings, not because of emotions, but because of who He is. A praise and a thanksgiving parade because of who He is and what He's done and is doing. And thanksgiving should continually come out of our mouth. Even when we pray, it's prayer with thanksgiving. It's tied to it. It's great. This ministers to the Lord. It ministers to you. And it knocks Satan between the eyes. Because it's a weapon. Praise is a weapon against him. And so our heartbeat, what's your heartbeat? Our heartbeat should be continually praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Even when things are not going good, it ought to be praise and thanksgiving because of faith. Faith, we're seeing the unseen. We're seeing in the invisible, and we're seeing and trusting and believing, have confidence in God that He's going to work this out for our good and His glory. And so whatever circumstances, whatever trial, situation it is, and those come, whatever it is, He's going to work it out for His good, for my good and His glory. And so whatever it is temporary. You say, well, it's been a long time. Then it's a joy for us to praise and give thanks before the victory is manifest in our life because it's already been manifest on the cross. Somebody say amen. Amen. This does not go along with normal human thinking. All right, this is a spiritual mindset, not a world mindset. But a praise and victory testimony should always be on our lips. It's our responsible report. It's our response ability. Response ability. Do you get it? Hey, it's our opportunity to always respond to anybody, anywhere, any situation with praise and thanksgiving. This brings honor and glory to God. It's our heartbeat. The Holy Spirit, when we give praise and thanksgiving to others, the Holy Spirit whispers to them. Please catch this. The Holy Spirit whispers to them, and He says this, that the wind in you is for the wind in them is for you. That's what He says. Justin's hearing a testimony of healing or a testimony of grace or a testimony of provision. And the Holy Spirit whispers to him, the wind in them is for you. I paid the price for you to have victory too. Are you listening? And so that's why, and this happens to the believers and unbelieving. This is why the Bible says that we're to give a report of the Lord. Hey, as we get up, as we sit down, as we go in, as we go out to our children, and also to the heathen, we're to give the report of the Lord. So in Exodus chapter 17, I want to tell you a quick story, and I've got just a couple of minutes to do this. In Exodus 17, the children of Israel have already come through the Red Sea, and they're traveling out in the wilderness, and they begin to be attacked by the Amalekites. I don't have time to read the scripture. I'm just going to tell you the story. It's in Exodus 17. You can look at it later. But in Exodus 17, the Amalekites begin to come against them, harass them, disturb them. And I want to tell you, the Amalekites were gangsters. They were terrorists. And they actually lived by off of other people. And so they would go attack other people, and they'd steal away their people, they'd steal away their goods. And I want to tell you, they delighted in killing. And their whole purpose in life, would you get this, was to steal, kill, and destroy. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Hey, I don't know what the kites are called in your life, but whatever they're called, there's a name above their name. And Jesus has paid the victory against the kites in your life. And the kites in your life, according to John 10:10, Jesus said, there's an enemy out there, and he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds just like the Amalekites, so please listen to this. And so, thank God that Moses sought the Lord. And it's very, very important. I cannot overemphasize the importance of seeking the Lord. And the Lord's promised wisdom. But He wants to give you a revelation of Himself. And so anything that you're facing, seek the Lord, because He wants to show you Himself. He wants you to know Him greater. He wants you to know Him better. He wants you to know Him more intimately. He wants you to see Him. And Moses did. He sought the Lord. And you know what he saw? Never seen it before, first time in Scripture. He saw Jehovah Nissi. And what Jehovah Nissi means is that I'm your banner. I'm your victory. You know, it's like at the Olympics, after the great victory, you know, they take the flag from their nation. And they wave it, and they take the victory lap around the track. And that's what God revealed to Moses. You see, because I want to tell you, they were not professional soldiers. They didn't know how to fight. They'd never been in a war situation, a battle situation. You know what they were? They were shepherds, and they were brickmakers. They didn't know how to fight. But it's important for them to resist. Are you listening, church? Hey, the Bible says resist, submit to God, seek the Lord, yield to the Lord, submit to God, and then resist. You say, well, I'm not a professional. I don't know what else. No. Resist. And the resist in the New Testament means to continually resist. And the Bible says submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee. That's the promise of God. Because when we submit, we're making it, we're allowing it to be the Lord's battle. And not ours.
That's right. Amen.
I'd like to park there. So Moses sought the Lord. And he saw the Lord. He was Jehovah Nissi. He didn't know. He got to know God better. He had revelation. And after you get revelation, you can get wisdom. And so God told him something that really didn't make sense in the journals of war. He told Moses, take the rod, authority. We have the authority of the name of Jesus. That's our authority. So he took the rod in one hand, and God gave him instruction to go up on top of the mountain and to tell the Israelites to resist the Amalekites. And so there's battle going on down below, and that Moses is to hold up the rod of authority in one hand, and hold his other hand up in the other. And I'm sharing with you because it's pictured in the New Testament. This is what I see, and it fits in the series. But it's like this: prayer of authority in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving. The way it's pictured in the New Testament is prayer with thanksgiving. And so he holds up two hands. And whenever he's holding his hands up, the Israelites prevail. Whenever he gets tired, his hands begin to go down, the Amalekites prevail. Are you seeing something here, saints? This is why that we're called to spiritual warfare, and our spiritual warfare is to practice prayer of authority and also to practice thanksgiving. That should be our heartbeat, and that's the way we win. This is the way our family wins. This is the way our church wins. This is the way that we win. Prayer of authority and thanksgiving. And so this is what happened. Now, he had a couple guys with him. It was Aaron and Hur. And it's a beautiful picture of the power of agreement. We heard a testimony today of a mom who's just had a little one. And this is out of our church. Mom had a little one. And they opened her up, and she was so full of cancer, they sewed her back up and sent her home to die. But in this testimony, a brother came by and prayed the prayer of agreement. Not just a little God bless you, I'm gone prayer, but the type of thing where they sought the Lord together, fasted and prayed for 3 days, and prayed the prayer of agreement. And I want to tell you, when you see Aaron and Hur, whenever Moses' arms would get tired, the Amalekites would start to win. What's happening in your life? Are the kites winning? But I'm telling you what he did. The prayer of agreement is this: they got under each arm. And they would hold up the arms of Moses. And as they were in agreement with Moses in prayer, authority, and thanksgiving, the Israelites defeated the Amalekites. Amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Because that's a picture of where we are. Matthew 18, 19, and 20 talks about that if two or three agree as touching anything, it is done. Somebody say victory. That's why we need each other. It's not you and Jesus and you got your own thing going. No, we need body, we need family, we need the church. Thank God for a church family. So, a couple weeks ago when I shared this with the teens, y'all give me a couple minutes, okay, because this is important. I want you to see this. I shared this with the teens. Jaden's here. Jaden, stand up and wave right quick. Jaden's in the eighth grade. And I shared this with the teens, and I turned it around, and I said, here. And I threw them a little thing of Play-Doh. You remember this? I threw all of them some Play-Doh, and I said, you show with that Play-Doh what the victory of Jesus looks like in your life. He is Jehovah Nissi. How's this going to show up in your life? And Jaden made his. And he made a cross. And I said, okay, Jaden, that looks good. I said, but explain it to me. How does this apply to victory in your life? He said, Papa T, you've been telling us over and over. Our victory is from His victory. And the cross is our victory. Amen. And I want to tell you what. I couldn't hardly speak because it touched me. Because I was saying that here's an eighth grader. Not in the ideal situation in life and in family. But you know what? He gets it. Amen. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of adults that don't get it. He got it. Papa T didn't teach him that. That was the Spirit of the Lord. In the cross is His victory. And he's going to be facing some things in this next year that he shouldn't have to face. But I want to tell you, when you know that, Bubba, the victory of Christ can be made known in your life. Anthony's here. Anthony, wave at everybody. And what the picture he presented with his Play-Doh was an embryo. And I want to tell you, of course, he's an artist, man. It was a great. Okay, I messed up by not taking pictures of it. Because I wanted to show him on the screen. I was so touched, I couldn't. He made an embryo. I said, okay, Bubba, I see what that is. You did a good job, but what does that say to you? He said, before I was even born, the Lord had victory paid for me. And the Lord had victory lined up for my life before I was even born. Little Karina, wave at us. She's in the booth today. She spelled out a word with hers, and it said peace. And I said, okay, sis, tell us how Jehovah Nissi's in this. And she said, I've struggled with some fear, some anxiety. And she said, I know that whenever that tries to show up, that Jesus is my victory. Jesus is peace. And I want to tell you, that takes revelation. Because that means that she doesn't have to struggle and try to earn peace. Are you listening? That Jesus is inside of her, and Jesus is her victory already. Jesus is her peace. Peace is here now. Little Hope was there. Hope's not here this morning, but little Hope was there. And what she spelled out was help. And I asked her, I said, okay, hon, how does that, the victory of Jesus? She said, I know, because He's in me and He's my victory, that whenever I need help, He's there already. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, when you capture that truth, that He's a very present help in time of trouble, and I didn't teach on that verse that night. Holy Spirit showed this to her. That He's her victory, and whenever Hope, you need help, I'm already there helping already. Our part is to submit and receive because He's paid the price. And you know what? He wants to get what He paid for. You guys can have a seat. So He paid the price, overcomer, more than conqueror. Last verse, and I'm closing. And it's Romans 8:37. Yet amid all these things. Now would you circle all these things? Because all these things apply to whatever kite is in your life. Whatever you're facing. Whatever's coming up. Whatever you've been through. Whatever's in your past. that keeps harassing you or disturbing you. Hey, this is what the, amid all these, in the midst of all these things, whatever Amalekites against you, we are already more than conquerors, and we gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. God paid for it. That's the resurrection proof. It's the prayer of authority. It's praise and thanksgiving. The title deed is already yours. He's already given us the key. Okay? As proof, the victory is ours. The resurrection victory has been paid for. The vehicle that you're to go in for your victory is already yours. The title deed is yours. It's your victory. And He says you're worth it. And it always, He always leads us to triumph. And so the biggest question of Him always leading us into triumph is that, if He's leading, are we following? I want to tell you, are you following? Because if you're following, He's leading you into His victory. That's what Jesus does because He loves us so much. Now I'm going to have you bow your heads and just sit right there. Bow your heads for a moment. I know I went a little bit over. Thank you for forgiving me. All right. That's in you to forgive me, you know. And let's just seek the Lord for a moment, would you? I'm going to have the beans come up and sing for us another song. And we're going to receive a love offering for them. But right now, let's receive the Lord's offering for you. Because He's here. He's paid the price for your forgiveness. He's paid the price for your freedom. He's paid the price for your victory. And He wants you to receive His offering. I want to tell you, I know what hits. You say, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I've messed up too bad. No, you haven't. And no, you don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But He paid the price for us to receive it. All right? He took our wickedness and He gave us His righteousness. It's a gift of righteousness. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it, but we receive it. That's the definition of His love. But first and foremost, you've got to accept Christ. You've got to give yourself completely to Christ. Have you done that? When you do that, He comes, you're forgiven, and you're given new life. New life in Christ. Resurrection life. Hey, your spirit becomes alive with Christ. It's the new you. It's the born-again you. And that's what Jesus has for you. I'm praying for you right now. If you're here this morning and you have an Amalekite that you're fighting and you feel like you're losing, or you need to persevere, you need the power of agreement, I just want you to raise your hand. Okay? Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray the prayer of agreement. I release the power of Your Word. I release the confirmation of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray over these right now, and I just declare Your divine victory to be manifested inside and out. Holy Spirit, I ask You to come and to minister to them a picture of Your victory, what Your victory looks like in this situation. And I bless them right now with a revelation of You, that, Lord, we get to see You and identify with You and not our battle. That this battle is Your battle and not ours. And we just confess that victory, that revelation right now in the name of Jesus.